It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Budget Battle 2009.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. President Obama is heading to Capitol Hill today to take on his budget critics. The $3.6 trillion plan was the center of the president's primetime news conference last night. I should say billion-dollar plan. This morning, his critics are in full force. House Minority Whip Eric Cantor says Obama's plan taxes small businesses too much. Here's Cantor speaking on this morning's Today Show.
I think what we saw the president doing, though, is trying to defend a budget that is so far out of the mainstream that even members of his own party are now having a lot of difficulty supporting.
Obama is starting his budget talks today by meeting with congressional Democrats. In Europe, one politician says the U.S. plans to spend its way out of the recession is, quote, a way to hell. That comment came today from the Czech prime minister. With more overseas reaction, here's Christopher Wirth.
Obama is unlikely to have won many converts. European leaders are brushing off Washington's pleas to match the kind of stimulus spending going forward in the U.S. Daniel Gross of the Center for European Policy Studies says part of the problem might be the administration's recent plan to buy up toxic assets.
Obama has lost a lot of credibility in Europe with his latest plan. That is widely perceived as being insufficient, half-baked, extremely complicated, doubtful whether it will work, and that same leader is asking us to be more bold on fiscal spending.
Washington's special relationship with Britain may not prove very helpful either. On the same day, the president suggested other countries might need to step up their stimulus measures. The governor of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, warned British Prime Minister Gordon Brown to rein in government spending. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And I'm having a battle with my brain this morning. Indeed, it is a $3.6 trillion plan that Obama is pushing today. Shares in Europe are lower this morning. It was a down day for major markets in Asia. Yesterday, the Dow dropped 115 points, or 1.5%, to close at 7,660. So far this morning, futures are pointed higher. It looks like new numbers just out on durable goods are resonating well on Wall Street. New U.S. orders for long-lasting manufactured goods unexpectedly rebounded last month. Speaking of big-ticket items, if you have old computers or cell phones gathering dust at home, listen up. Today, a House committee is looking at keeping old technology out of the trash. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll has the story.
Often our old electronics end up in landfills, where toxic chemicals like lead and mercury can seep out. The EPA says this kind of trash is growing 2 to 3 times faster than any other waste, largely because no one knows what to do with it. Valerie Thomas teaches industrial engineering at Georgia Tech. She says industry's done a good job of making technology less toxic, but
there's been less progress in making products easy to recycle, and there's been really very little progress in increasing the recycling rates.
Computer recycler Willie Cade says that's because there are so many different elements in each device, from magnets to metals.
So we have to figure out a way that we can turn that kind of messy stream of equipment into some really great product.
Experts say in an ideal world, electronics would have barcodes. The devices could be tossed into smart recycling bins that would read the codes. That way recyclers would know which parts to reuse and how. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, constantcontact.com.
As we saw after Wall Street's mega rally Monday, there is some genuine optimism about the government's plan to partner with private investors to buy up the so-called toxic assets still weighing on a lot of banks. That is, there's optimism depending on who you ask. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus is with us now. David, I have a feeling that you're not particularly jazzed about this.
I've got a couple of quibbles, I guess. And my first is virtually every report in the media refers to toxic assets. And when I hear that, it's almost like we're saying that all these banks and financial institutions bought a pig in a poke. And also, look at the Obama administration calling them legacy assets, as if crazy old Uncle Willie sold you a house with termites and now it's a big problem. It's not a legacy here. Okay, these assets, they're fine.
Well, they were fine.
By fine, what I mean is the assets are still exactly what they were at the beginning, and that is a security, something that you buy and sell. And the notion that the asset has suddenly turned toxic and is somehow infecting like a cancer all of Wall Street strikes me as a misnomer. Really, what we're talking about here are mortgage companies that did not do their due diligence and gave money to people who had no ability to pay it back. Then we're talking about Wall Street heavyweights that bought the securitized versions of these loans without, again, doing any due diligence. And now they're in deep over their heads after making all of these bad decisions. And we're saying it's the assets that are the problem.
All right. So what would you call the assets?
I'm glad you asked me. I would call them the boneheaded loan, irresponsible mortgage package, or blimp.
I was just trying to figure that out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Blimp. And the way to deal with a blimp, you let out all the hot air.
Well, tell me this. If you could, for a day, change your name to Tim Geithner, what would you do right now?
I think one thing I would do is to step right up and say, all this lip service we've been paying to regulatory changes, here's what we're talking about. And what we're talking about specifically is far greater transparency in the marketplace.
But how do you create that?
How do you create that? It's reporting requirements, very clear reporting requirements and very regular reporting requirements, and also consequences that come, severe consequences, when those reporting requirements are not met. Obviously, I'm simplifying very grossly, but at the same time, this is the culture that needs to come into place, a culture of disclosure as opposed to a culture of denial.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, such a pleasure.
Thank you.
If you have a new name for toxic assets, let us know at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.